Hi, I'm Renee Champagne.
And I'm Rhonda Sestak.
Please join me and my sister as we discuss horrifying crimes, urban legends, and spooky locations throughout Oklahoma and beyond.
You are listening to Route 66 Fear Fix.
Welcome to Route 66 Fear Fix. I'm Renee.
I'm Rhonda.
And we're joined again this week with Sean. Say hi, Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Okay, I will try not to laugh as much as I did through the last one. But our last podcast, we talked about our favorite movie ever, which we couldn't remember any of the scenes correctly. But Halloween, the original movie. I had to cut that one short just a little bit because we overextended our time, space, or allotment. So we'll kind of just talk about today. I want to say we're going to talk about Halloween H2O because I think that's one of the best ones in the entire
series.
Yeah, in the entire series.
Yeah.
So the original Halloween ends, the first one, and then the second one takes place the morning after the first one. So in the second one, we're not going to recap the whole thing or anything. We're just going to say that in that second one, we find out that Lori is actually Michael's sister.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, Michael at the end of the second one dies and all. We think he dies. He's burned alive. But yet, we know Michael.
Yeah.
So we're going to leap from that one to Halloween H2O.
Right.
And that one... It's called H2O because it is set 20 years later.
After the first one.
Yes. And I'm laughing right now because as I speak, Rhonda is mouthing the words that I'm saying.
Because I'm trying to help her along because she didn't remember anything last time. So.
And I would like to say that I asked Sean a while ago. I said, do you know anything about H2O? Because he's sitting here, so I figure he might as well do the podcast with us. And he said... water. So of course we invited him to do the podcast with us
because it can't be any worse than we did last time.
No, it just adds an extra person to laugh, right, Sean?
Right.
Okay, so Halloween H2O, like I said, it takes place 20 years after the original. So this film came out in 1998. Mm-hmm. So I was 20.
I don't even remember how old I was.
You were 27.
Oh yeah, 27. So were you, Sean, in case you needed. Yes.
So, it takes place 20 years later, and it opens, we're not going to go scene by scene, but we do want to tell how it opens. The nurse Marion from the original, she's the nurse, she's in this movie, and it opens with her going into her house and feeling like something unsettling had happened, and she's scared.
She thought somebody broke in.
Yes. So, she runs next door to her neighbor, who is Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and he gets his hockey stick, and he runs over there to figure out what's going on, and he sees that... you know, her office and stuff has been just torn apart. And her office is where she had all of her information about Michael Myers.
Right.
So then it carries us through. It kind of gives us a recap and plays the music and carries us through pictures and stuff from the original. And
it has the voice overlay of Dr. Loomis. Because in real life, I can't remember the gentleman's name.
Donald Pleasance.
Okay, who played Dr. Loomis had died. So this was almost like a tribute to him at the beginning of H2O, just having him recap what was wrong with Michael, what he thought was wrong with Michael.
How he was evil. He had a really good voice and stuff. I always liked his voice. Yeah. Sean is aggravating me right now. I'm making additional noises in the background that are irritating me. Anyway, yeah, we hear Donald Pleasance talk about Michael Myers. And then Jimmy is Joseph Gordon-Levitt's name in the movie. He comes in and, like I said, he finds that the office has been ransacked and all this stuff. And he comes out and he tells her, you know, everything's fine. Somebody just tore up your office or whatever. Then he goes home and he gets murdered. And then Michael comes over and he murders the nurse. And
so it begins.
It begins. Okay, from there we shift to where we're following Jamie Lee Curtis's character, Laurie Strode, who has now gone into the Witness Protection Program, and she is now
headmistress of a prestigious private school.
Yay, she got the words out. Okay, so she's, like Rhonda said, she's the headmistress.
She's going under the name of Carrie Tate.
Right.
Now.
And nobody knows that she's Laurie Strode or had any of these issues. So, the original takes place in Haddonfield, Illinois. This Halloween H2O takes us to California. Mm-hmm. So, she's moved all these miles away. You know, she figures she's safe. She's in the witness protection program. She lives there with her son, John, who is the debut. This is Josh Hartnett's debut, his theatrical debut.
I think so.
He's in it. He plays her son. Supposedly, you know, nobody knows who they are. They're safe. And then somehow, Michael is in the mental institute. Oh, he found it because he found... That's right. He found out where she was.
Yeah.
And again, he's got these driving abilities that he picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And he drives to California. So.
Yes. And when we get to California, like I say, you see Laurie Strode, who is now going as Carrie Tate. She's living as normal of a life as she could, dating another colleague there.
Adam Arkin.
Adam Arkin, who plays Will Brennan, and that is her significant other at this time. And her son goes to the school, and she's the headmistress, and she's just having this little normal life going on, thinking everything's okay. But it is the day before Halloween.
Yeah, her son wants to go on a field trip or something.
Yeah.
She won't sign his permission slip, so he forges it.
Yeah.
And
the guard lets him off out of the facility.
Right. And it was also her son's 17th birthday,
right,
which is reminiscent of her 17th birthday in the first one when I guess Michael decided to I guess you can't get older than 17 in his family, okay?
Coming of age, you are old enough to die. Yeah, because his first sister would have been about that age, right? Or was she 16?
Well, she's 15, I thought.
Oh, was she 15?
Yeah. Let's don't get into the movie you don't remember.
Right? I do remember it. I love it, but I'm old. Okay, so we've got Josh Hartnett. His girlfriend in the movie is Michelle Williams. She plays Molly. You know, mm-hmm. So they have this group of friends, and like Sean said, they want to. They have the whole school's going on this camping trip, and he wants to go. His mom says, "No, you can't go. Don't you know what day it is?" Blah blah blah. And he's like, "You know, get over yourself. Michael's not coming back." Yes. You know.
And then she proceeds, because she is a functioning alcoholic, go in there and drink vodka after having this argument with her son. Mm-hmm. You must remember that as a point of contention between her and her son is that she is an alcoholic trying to deal with her past.
And then at the same token, then he sneaks off and goes up into an attic area with his girlfriend and starts drinking.
It runs in the family.
Okay, so she finally gives in and says he can go. But he already made plans with his girlfriend and his friends to stay. And so they're...
The fun ensues.
Yeah. So she thinks that he's gone. Michael shows up. You know, he drove there. Oh, we have to go back to where Michael gets his car. Because he pulls over at the side of the road. You know, those rest stops you see at the side of the road. You know, they're creepy enough. But after seeing this movie... He pulls over, this woman's in the bathroom with her little girl. The little girl's singing a song, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what she's singing.
Mm-hmm.
But then Michael steals the lady's purse off from under the stall door.
How rude, you're in the toilet to have your purse on.
And then he takes the keys and he drives away and he leaves her with... Oh, well, he had stolen the nurse's car.
Yeah.
So he leaves her with the car with a flat tire. But yes, this is why I don't stop at... On the highway for the rest stops. They're creepy enough. And that just, I always remember that scene. It scares me.
Yeah. But anyways, he takes that car and goes, you know, finds this prestigious school in California that she's the headmistress of. I'm not sure what the name of the school is, but it must be prestigious because that's how they always describe it. But anyway, Michael goes and in Michael fashion... He can sit somewhere all day and nobody knows he's there. But there is another person in this movie that's got a famous name, and that's LL Cool J, who plays the security guard for this prestigious school. And just right across the street, Michael sits in this old... It's not It's a very standout car because it's not popular. It's like an old
army green
wagon
beat-up
looking thing or something. So he's out there all day. He never once, questions it.
With the mask on.
Yes, never once questions
on
it.
On Halloween.
But
or Halloween-y.
He doesn't question it until later, but we'll get to that. But anyway, go ahead, Renee. I just thought that was
unique
that Michael can always be seen, but nobody sees him. So, anyway.
Okay, so Michael gets in and terrorizes them. We're not going to go scene by scene, right?
No, we're
so
not.
What we want to talk about, I guess, is... I don't know what you want to talk about. Janet Leigh makes an appearance in this movie. She is Jamie Lee Curtis's mom. They have a nice little tribute to her Psycho days.
Yes, comparing the Scream Queens.
Yes. we see... Oh, if we want to just... This movie skips over...
Four, five, and six.
Three has nothing to do with Michael.
No.
But it skips over 4, 5, and 6. And it really doesn't have anything to do with Halloween 2.
No.
This one I got was like a movie all on its own.
Kind of.
For the series, because it was no longer a battle between Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers. It was no longer a battle between them two. What it was a battle for her to gain back her sanity and to be able to get some kind of freedom to her and her family. And Michael come around, and it seemed like his objective at that time was to put an end to all of that by eliminating her family.
To kill her.
Not necessarily her, but to get to the kids and stuff.
Well, that was
because time and time again, she's thwarted him when he's tried to go for her, which that's what his drive ended up turning out to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what is his drive? Why does he want to kill his family?
Well, I know we're not talking about 4, 5, and 6, but in those movies, they try to explain that it's some kind of pagan thing or some kind of...
What does that have to do with his bloodline?
His mom and dad did some kind of ritual
something.
Yeah, but that's... And supposedly what happened during that ritual and stuff like that is that they called forth a demon of some sort. Well, apparently this demon possessed Michael as a child. And...
I never heard that one.
It said like in one of those, it was kind of like that, where they performed some kind of
ritual.
She was talking about it and stuff like that. So I was under the assumption that that's what happened, because this kid just started flipping out after that, and then instead of trying to reason with it and saying, okay, well, we did this, or what's going on, he became fascinated with masks and stuff like that.
He didn't want to show his face.
He didn't want to show his face and stuff like that.
He didn't want to show his face. I don't know why that is, though.
And so...
Maybe it's a down...
The parents became an object of... A target for him and stuff. Because they were the ones that were always putting the rules on him. And then, eventually he just...
Oh, you're mixing in the Rob Zombie ones.
Oh, yeah. We don't even want to talk about Rob Zombie.
Just one of those kids that they call it.
Yeah, but I mean, the Rob Zombie ones came after that. I don't know what they exactly explained.
Well, one of the things the doctor said in one of those movies, that doctor guy said in there, is that it is possible for someone to be born evil, and he believed that Michael was.
Yeah, Donald Pleasant did believe that.
Why he's targeting his sister.
It goes back. We don't really. Mm-hmm. Look at it in real life. You don't really understand the motivation of some killers. Not that Michael is a real life killer.
It's like an extreme case of sibling rivalry.
Do you think maybe he just sees himself in her, or
she was the only one that could calm him in a fit of rage. Call his name and he would stop and look right at her. She never backed down from him.
She did in the first one.
Well, I'm just saying she would take so much, and then it would come to a point where she would stand up to him, and maybe that was a challenge.
Not gonna kill me today, Michael.
Maybe that was a challenge, or maybe
20 years from now
as being strong because she's the one he couldn't break. He's the one that she couldn't. Yeah. She's the one that got away. it became an obsession like that. Often in with serial killers and stuff like that, you'll find that in there. They become obsessed in a certain pattern or a certain way that they kill people. Like Michael uses the knife. He's got to have the mask and stuff on and all this. Jason Voorhees, you know, he used a machete, you know, with the hockey mask on because his face was deformed.
So why is it that in these scary movies they always have to cover their faces?
I don't know.
It's not a secret as to who they are, so.
It's not a secret, but, I mean.
To me, that ties into the thing.
Because you're braver.
You know, to me, that ties into the thing. When you're doing something.
You put a mask on, you can act as somebody else.
When you're doing something that's not right, you don't want to be seen. You know.
Yeah, but if he's evil, he doesn't care.
Even a psychotic killer knows that they're killing people, that's not right. So,
yeah, but you're going based on the assumption that he's thinking like a normal
morality.
No, but
morality, I'm saying it is an assumption. No, that's not thinking rational in no way. I mean, like I said, the doctor believed that he was born evil. You know, my personal opinion, I believe that it had something to do with this pagan ritual that his mom and dad participated in.
Yeah, but
you know,
it's
because
still not
the other
connected
kids didn't
to,
come out like that.
But it's not connected to Halloween H2O.
Yeah, well, you don't know that.
But
just,
the Halloween thing come out because Halloween, you know, All Hallows Eve. It's when things of evil and darkness and stuff are celebrated.
Yes, but,
you know,
I don't know.
I don't know. They did talk about it in the second one as a, what is that pagan holiday that falls?
But going back to
they set it in Halloween.
We're going back to the original question of
Samhain.
Oh, Samhain. Yeah.
But going back to the original question of why is he wanting to kill her? I believe it's just a simple fact because he missed the first time, so he became obsessed with this. So every time he would learn where she was at or learn that she was alive, that obsession would come back to life in him, and instead of just sitting there in the institution, just doing whatever he does, you know, then he goes crazy and that evilness comes out.
It could be, because, I mean, he kills other people along the way, but he's intent on her because he didn't get her.
And I believed also that he was possessed and stuff like that, because like the Jason Voorhees thing. I mean, no matter how many times you killed him, he came back to life.
Possessed people don't just come back to life.
No, I'm just saying he's no longer, to me, he's no longer human. He's a demonic figure in using the body of Michael Myers.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much I want to go off of those pagan and all that stuff.
I do have a question though. I don't recall this, but in any of the movies, do we know what happened to the parents?
No, I don't know.
I mean, it never discussed them being dead or anything, did it?
Not until we jumped to Rob Zombie's movies.
Well, I don't
want to
even talk about his, because I feel like those...
No, because...
Or just way out there.
I think even...
But they were way out there.
No, I don't know. I don't think we even see the
parents. At the same time,
you don't
see Rob Zombie tried to give an insight to the things that we missed. What happened to the parents? What happened to him as a child?
Yeah, but I don't want to.
Yeah, but Rob Zombie's... is stupid.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say about that. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
I'm sorry, folks. Yeah, I don't want to talk about Rob Zombies. Okay, so Halloween H2O gives the tribute of that or whatever. So at the end of this one, it culminates in she thinks she's killed him. She steals the ambulance with his body in it. She drives. She crashes into a tree where he strategically flies out and lands perfectly between the ambulance and a tree. And she smashes him. And then it wasn't really him. We find that out in the next one.
Yeah, you find that in the next one. She cut the head off, too.
Yeah, she cut his head off.
His head off.
She did go up and talk to him. And as he was reaching, or he wanted her to take off his mask.
Yeah.
Did she take it off?
Yeah, because he was reaching to her like, help.
Did she take it off?
She did not take it off.
Okay.
And she chops his head off.
She chops it off. Okay, so, and then we follow this movie into the next one, which is Resurrection.
Yeah.
Only briefly into the beginning of the movie. I can't even talk. To where we see where she battles him once again from the mental institute where she's been put.
She's been put in there because she went psycho.
Because she killed the actual ambulance driver instead of Michael.
And if you're wondering how she would do that without him saying something, is because they do flash back to show where Michael crushed the ambulance driver's vocal. So he could not speak. So when he was reaching out for her, he was truly reaching out for help.
It's almost like this guy, it's almost like Michael is like toying with her, you know, through all this stuff, you know, like he's getting, the way he's getting back at her is by just driving her completely
insane.
Nuts. Because she can't believe or trust anything that she sees or does. Because like I said, she thought she was killing Michael. Turned out to be an ambulance driver. And everything. I mean, before that, she threw him off a balcony. Thought he was dead. Looked down, he's gone. You know, so, I mean, you know, what better way to get revenge on somebody, you know? But as far as the actual why he has so much hatred for her, you know? I mean, that question really isn't answered completely 100%. That's just all something that you have to form your own opinion about. You know, like my opinion is that it has something to do with this paganistic ritual.
Well,
you know, that caused him to be, you know, evil because it's actually a demonic spirit in possession of him. Because look how many times he dies and comes right back.
Yeah. You know? And along that line of not really knowing, I think that was the intent that they told we. Discussed in the first movie, they didn't want anybody
to be able to relate to him.
Yeah, to be able to relate to him, to even know where he's coming from.
Another thing that spurs on his obsession with her and everything, and again, this is purely my opinion, is that she is his weakness.
I mean, I don't know what you mean by that.
Anyone else, if he goes to kill them or whatever like that, they can call his name, do whatever they want to and everything. He's not going to stop. He's just going to do whatever he wants to do. She actually causes him, he actually stops in his tracks almost every single time and just stares at her.
That is true.
As if he's trying to figure her out.
She's a motherly figure to him.
You know?
She's something, and they do carry that theme, and we're not talking about 4, 5, and 6, but we keep talking about 4, 5, and 6. And that one, it wasn't Laurie Strode-based where he was going after her. He was going after her daughter, Jamie Lloyd. And in those movies, when she would say Michael or something, he also would stop.
I mean, is it just like he's being reminded of who he is?
It might be, and he doesn't want to be who he was. Maybe that's what he's trying to do, erase whatever he was.
Well, the best, and it could be also that maybe he's trying to eliminate the line to where another him can never be created.
That's a possibility.
Mm-hmm. You know, because in one movie, didn't one of the girls go psychotic or something? Or she started killing people or something like that?
Yes, we're top into 4, 5, and 6.
Then. Yeah. You know.
Yes, Jamie did.
So, I mean.
Yeah, because she stabbed somebody in the clown
her
suit, too.
Personally.
Yeah. She also, you find out she was pregnant. Jamie Lloyd had gotten pregnant. And at the beginning of the 6th one, she gave birth to a baby. And that's who he was after, remember?
That's true.
He was after the baby. And FYI, that was Paul Rudd's. Was that his film debut or was Clueless?
Yes. No, it was.
Okay.
So maybe it could be the possibility that...
He thinks evil is carried in the bloodline.
Carried in the bloodline, but it could also... And I'm sorry to keep bringing this up, but it could also tie to the ritual that those parents did. Because maybe they made some kind of promise to, you know... To the devil or something, you know, in regards to their children.
Yeah, but
you know?
It's just hard to include that when the filmmakers try to get us to not include that.
You
know, it's like they don't want to include those things, but they want to be able to hop from 1-2 to H2O.
Yeah, because you got to
not tell us
kind of,
anything.
Yeah, you got to have some kind of explanation as to why, how this got started, and why does it continue in the fashion that it continues? Because all the plots in the end come down to one. Single thing. Michael Myers is trying to eliminate anybody related to him.
I guess.
I mean,
and everybody that
true.
Gets in his way, basically.
That was the driving force of every movie until you got to Resurrection. And then in Resurrection, he killed her right in the beginning. Killed Laurie Strode in the beginning.
But then he went home.
Yeah, the home was the tie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he would always return to the place of origin. You know, that home maybe could still have some kind of imminence there, or some kind of portal, or something. Maybe who knows? You know, or maybe it's just the fact that that's the only place that he knows that is familiar. You know, the rest of the world hates him. You know, this house it welcomes him.
But you know, that follows the storyline of H2O. Resurrection does, with her being in the beginning. And when we go back to the home, it's got all these underground tunnels and torture
things.
Yeah, it
did.
So it's almost like they were leaning towards the torture. Not that I like Rob Zombies, but almost leaning towards that same, that he was tortured and had a horrible life.
And that's that's one of the things that I was getting at, because I remember one scene in one movie, they had him strapped to it.
Yeah, but that's chair. Rob Zombie.
Well, I'm just saying, and he, you know, and he was all flipping out and stuff like that, you know. So, you know, it makes the question come up, was he tortured or was he just psycho and they didn't know what else to do? So they had to restrain this kid in order, because they were afraid of him. Oh. Or does it have something to do with what they've done, and they know that they let an evil loose and it's possessed their child and there's nothing they can do about it?
But going back, well, no, we're not talking about 4, 5, and 6, but when Jamie killed someone, Sam Loomis said, oh no, not again, or something. So it is almost like it was in the bloodline. Like that evil carries through.
I mean, it's probably some kind of, would have been some kind of psychotic or some kind of psychological thing. Look at, I mean, Michael and Jamie, you know, they had their little issues. Well, you got Lori over here. She's on the opposite spectrum. She has I don't think she's very stable. And yes, that's probably due to what's happened and stuff, but I think she probably wasn't all that stable probably to begin with. You know, she was really withdrawn, really reserved. You know how they always say it's the quiet ones you have to watch out for. Mm-hmm. I mean, so she may have had issues to this end of it and go on the other spectrum, and there's Michael and he's, you know, just
well, maybe,
has
maybe,
nothing.
Maybe it was, like we touched on earlier, maybe it was some kind of, you know, bad gene somewhere, you know, that caused everybody to be kind of off the rocker a little bit, you know, but maybe he caught the extreme of it, you know, or maybe that they've gone through it with the other children and this youngest one, you know, they're like, hey, you know,
only had the older daughter,
you know.
So you come back to the question of nature versus nurture.
I was just going to say, you know, I know this is fiction and he's a fictional serial killer, but, you know, serial killers in real life, are they born this way? Like you said, nature versus nurture.
There's always some kind of trigger.
But does there have to be? Is there?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
you know, there's always something there. If you go back, you know, all the serial killers, if you go back through history and stuff and you look, there was a point in time when something somewhere triggered them.
What triggered Jeffrey Dahmer?
What triggered the Raider guy in Kansas, you know, that was a family man high in the church?
Jeffrey Dahmer
stuff.
His parents were teachers. He was great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it could be something as like maybe they're a closet homosexual and they're afraid to come out.
I don't think Michael's.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't know.
I'm just saying. You know, you're touching on Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer and all them, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know?
But they're not all.
Or maybe there were, you know, maybe inside there was some kind of disgusting pedophile, you know,
so
had some kind of obsession
with
young kids, you know.
An insecurity in their selves that makes them angry. And
this guy, I firmly believe. I believe this is my own opinion. I believe that he is trying to eradicate anybody that is within his bloodline, so there's not another him, because he does not.
Yeah, but
like
then
himself.
We're making
he
then,
is disgusted with himself. He doesn't like himself.
Then we're making him a hero.
No, we're not
right.
making him a hero.
We are.
No,
because he's preserving others.
Because here's the sick side of it. You know, you can look at it as, well, yeah, he's trying to eliminate a ring that could possibly create more serial killers. But at the same time, though, he gets his fun out of tormenting her.
Yeah, but he's killing other people.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's letting her know, I'm here.
Maybe he doesn't
here.
Want them to kill anyone else, and he's like the Highlander. There can be all one.
No, he does it because he wants her to feel the insanity maybe that he himself feels.
And he also has to kill other people because he has to stage them to scare the
and
Jesus
nobody,
out of
nobody,
her every
nobody,
time.
Nobody, nobody likes him. I mean, all his life this kid's been locked up, you know, been scrutinized. Wow. been told basically that he was evil. He's not a good person.
He was evil.
I'm just saying, he's not a good person.
Well, he's not a killer.
You know, whether he wore a mask or whether he didn't wear a mask, you know.
This isn't one of those evil parenting styles you can say.
He was very insecure as a child. That's what started
but
the
he
mask,
seems pretty secure.
With. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't because what he's doing is he's making her alienated from the world the same way that he's been alienated from the world. Nobody wants to be around a crazy person who thinks people are out to get them, or nobody wants to be around someone that if you're friends with them, you die.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So in that aspect, he's isolating her from the world, causing the world to hate her and to feel like that there's something bad with her the same way that the world felt about him.
Yeah, that's a far stretch.
Yeah.
Which was probably one reason why when she would call his name, he would stop to look. Because was he looking at himself? Was he thinking that he was looking at himself in the mirror? Like, is this the type of person?
This is far stretching.
No, like, is this the type of person that I am? You know? In other words.
No, if he was like her, he wouldn't be killing people.
I got my issues, you know? But she's able.
Yeah, I got my
issues. But she's able to run the world. She's able to roam. You know, I'm just saying, she's able to roam the world and carry on a somewhat normal life. Could I have had that? You know,
well,
I'm
he could have had it if he didn't
I'm
put
saying,
on.
There's several different
things. Shatner's
several
face.
Different questions that can go there. You know, or like you said, he could have just been one of those things where, you know, I mean, the proverbial bad seed. You know, where he was just born. Evil, you know, which
if I
don't believe.
If I start
people,
killing people,
I don't believe people are born evil.
Well, we already
like
knew
said,
you were the bad thing.
I don't believe anybody's born evil. You know, there is a trigger somewhere. I mean, even the devil himself wasn't born the devil. He wasn't created the devil. He was an angel of God. You know, the most beautiful
true
of angels. He was a very powerful angel. But he let his own, but what the trigger of that was, is he got jealous. That triggered it. And there he started all his war.
So
and now,
Michael is jealous.
You know.
Well, I mean, that's true. Thinking about other stuff outside of this, Lucifer wasn't created. Well, he was Lucifer, but not.
Well,
it's like the same connotation that's
in the Garden
of
Eden. They said
know
he was the most beautiful creature in the
yeah
whole Garden of Eden. You know,
I mean,
so God cursed him and made him the serpent. You know, so everybody would first thing they want to do is step on his head. You want to kill him. You know, you want to stomp on him.
Well, Eve you know wanted to talk to him.
But I'm just saying, you know.
Okay, reining it back into
yeah
Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but, you know, when you look at all your classic cases of sibling rivalry, it all comes down to one thing, jealousy.
Rhonda's jealous of me.
No. Her name
it all comes down
to
one, jealousy. That's not fair. Or, you know, I should have. Or they should have done. You know, but it all comes down to
jealousy.
But
do you
think
Michael is rational enough to think of this as a sibling rivalry?
I don't think he is.
I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just saying you look down at it all and stuff like that. But I honestly believe that because, you know, the way she was able to display herself in public, you know, her face and different things. I'm just saying, you know, and she wasn't afraid to show that.
She was allowed to show her
fear
face.
He had that fear of showing his face. He did not want
so
to show his face.
So what do we think would have happened if she would have put on a mask?
That's a good question. And I've always wanted to see that happen and see her stare him in the eye and see what he
one of the scariest parts of the movie to me is when she's looking at the door and the only thing separating them is
the
glass in the door and they're just looking
yeah
at each
yeah
other.
Yeah, he's just standing there. You know, I mean, why wouldn't he have done like he did everybody else, you know, and just immediately, you know, kill her? I think, like I said, there was some,
he's like, what's up, sis?
There's some kind of connection, some kind of power she had over him. She didn't know it and he didn't know it, but something there and that intrigued him.
Yeah, it's called page 12, and he's not supposed to kill her.
No, I'm just saying. No, I'm just saying, you know, I know it's all part of the script because it's all, you know, a bunch of mumbo jumbo anyway.
Mumbo jumbo. He's the most awesome serial killer ever,
you know,
fictional.
But, you know, well, Jason Voorhees runs a close second. But,
yeah,
you know, it's the thing is, though, is that, you know, I feel like that was, you know, his drive all along, his obsession with her was trying to figure out what makes her tick. You know, why?
I don't think he cares.
Why? No, I'm just saying, why? Why is she, you know, is she able to have this ability to be able to stop him in his tracks?
I don't know.
You know?
Okay, before we wrap up, though, because we're going to have to wrap up here soon, why do you and I like him so much, Rhonda? Because I've tried to figure out this character flaw within myself for many years.
Do we have a
sibling rivalry like that? Should I put on a Michael mask?
I don't know. You did push me into an empty pool.
You stabbed me with a fork. So, if anyone is Michael, it's you.
Oh, whatever.
But I don't know why we've loved these movies so much.
I don't know. To me, it's why I do. It's the psychological part. It's not the blood and gore, because there isn't a lot.
No.
It is the psychological effect of it, you know, for
me.
You know
what
makes... How it makes me feel.
You know what makes us like characters like Michael Myers so much? Because they terrify us, too. Because that's somebody that's not only a fictional character, that could be somebody for real.
It could be
the person you work with. It could be your neighbor. It could be the stranger down
the
street.
Well, according to this movie, it has to be simple.
You know, because
unless David's coming for us,
and they stage it perfectly.
Well, I can see
Halloween,
that.
Halloween, with time where everybody wears scary masks.
David will put on his mask and be Jacob.
Call me Jacob. We love you, David.
If you're listening, which you probably aren't. But yes, we love you, Jacob. David. Anyway, okay, we're going to have to wrap this one up. I'm super excited about Halloween. I love Halloween.
Yes.
Go out there to a haunted house or haunted forest or haunted trail. I'm going to try to get out to one myself tomorrow night. So.
Yeah, it's fun. We went to Fright Fest last weekend. That was fun. Yeah, so it wasn't much to
Six
write.
Six Flags is right there.
I didn't make it this year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You didn't miss anything.
No. You missed Jessica not wanting to go.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well, thank you for listening. And what are we going to do next time? Do we know?
Aren't we going to do the reboot?
Okay. We'll talk about the reboot. And
not
also,
Rob Zombies.
No.
Actual John Carpenter, who did the very first one and second one. This is his take on what happened right after the first one. So we're going to forget a lot of stuff we just learned.
Which we know it's hard for you guys to forget what we've talked about, but the writers and directors expect us
to do that because...
And it's hard.
Yeah. But we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Route 66 Fear Fix.